go.
So the title of today's teaching is Yahweh's Nature is to Forgive. And we're going to Micah, one of those wonderful books. I cheated because I already know where I'm going. Micah chapter 7. It's right in front of Nahum. Have you? Good. That's nice. Yeah, no, it's a blessing. So Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. You know, after all of the evil and that's pronounced in the book of Micah, you know, what the people have been doing and the evil that they have been committing. And we're talking over a period of three kings. Now, this is not just a blip. These guys have been going downhill here for decades. Micah says at the end here, the Lord has made known the kingdom, the blessings. All he wants his people to do is turn. And it says here in verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoned iniquity and passes by the transgressions for the remnant of his heritage? He remaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. You know, God delights in mercy. He doesn't. His nature, our Father's nature, is to be merciful, forgiving, to pass over iniquity. He wants his people to walk with him. He wants them to do his will. I mean, and you can be as hard-hearted as some of these folks were, but the point is God Almighty is still pleading for his people, still desires to forgive and wants them. He wants them desperately. Go to Psalm 107. It's his nature. I think if he was like us, we would all be gone already. Because my nature is certainly not to be that merciful or that forgiving. I cry, really, when I think about the amount of mercy God has and has had. When he sent his son to die, it says in Romans that we were his enemies. That is an incredible amount of mercy and a perspective that we need to pray and believe to be able to see and to walk in. In Psalm 107, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." This psalm goes, you know, this is what you are doing, good or bad. This is what you should do and what God will do. So those of us who have been redeemed, we have a responsibility to say so, to proclaim it. I mean, we've seen miracles in our lives. I've seen miracles in my life. And it's our responsibility to tell this world, not keep it secret under a basket, you know, but to really proclaim them to the world in which we live. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, talking about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And they cried unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. When people are hungry and thirsty, when you got need, this is what you do. You cry unto Yahweh in their distress, and he led them forth in the right way, that they might go to the city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise Yahweh for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul, with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God, condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands asunder. The point being, in this psalm, you get yourself in trouble. Okay, your circumstances, you're hungry. He doesn't give the circumstances. They're hungry, thirsty. He'll fill them. All right? You get hard-hearted, turn against him, disobey his word, and you cry out to him for deliverance, he'll help you. He'll deliver you. Verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord Yahweh for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquity, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. God's mercy, his love, his care is always there. And he sent his word to heal them. You know, maybe they got, remember that man in the Luke 7, a man that was let down in, through the roof into the meeting. And Jesus Christ said to him, your sins be forgiven you. The reason for his affliction, that he's in that thing, was his sins, his iniquity, according to the Lord, not my speculation. And then everybody was upset because they said, oh, Jesus, who's he to forgive sins? He said, what is it? Easier for me to say to this man, thy sins be forgiven, or get up and walk and take up your bed and go home? So he said to him, take up your bed and go home. The man's problem was his iniquity and his sin, which caused his affliction. Now, does that mean everybody who's afflicted's got iniquity and sin? No. Just like not everybody's hungry or everybody's hard-hearted. The point is, no matter what category you fall into, God Almighty is merciful and forgiving. He is good. And if we cry to him, this is his nature. He will be merciful. Go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. This is a record of Hezekiah as king. Hezekiah was a boy when he started. And he followed the way of the Lord. The word of God was found, and they started to do it. And he started to rally the people to do the Word of God. They hadn't kept the Passover. The children of Israel had not kept the Passover for years and years. You don't know where it is, huh? The children of Israel hadn't kept the Passover for a very, very long time. A very extremely long time. And Hezekiah saw that it's written in the scriptures. So he rallies the people to come together. And it's on short notice. In fact, it's going to be in the wrong month. He said, we should have done this last month. We're going to do this in the second month. And the reason that they did it in the second month is because the priests they had quit. They weren't sanctified. They weren't doing their jobs. So he had to get them sanctified in order to do the Passover sacrifice. And then he had to get all the people to come in. So he sent letters out throughout all the communities. And he said, come on in, we need to keep the Lord's Passover because his judgment is passed on us because we haven't been doing his word. So it says here in verse 18, it says, for the multitude of the people and even many of Ephraim and Manasseh and Issachar and Zebulun had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardoned every one that prepared his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And Yahweh hearkened unto Hezekiah and healed the people. They had just repented after a very long time of not doing God's word, and they came and they made the effort to come back and to do the things of God. And they weren't doing it the way it was written. That would be a penalty. That would be, you know, something that God would say, hey, this is wrong. This is sin. You're not doing what I said. But because they prepared their heart to seek God, and because of the circumstances, Hezekiah prayed, and God pardoned everyone and healed the people. They were seeking him, even in the sense that they weren't carrying out the word exactly as written, but they were still seeking him. He pardoned and healed every one of them. What a wonderful, loving Father. He's not, you know, so many people think that he is just a stickler. If you do it just a little bit wrong, bomb, you're going to get. I mean, I used to grow up thinking that as a child in church. You know, you do any little thing wrong, you are out. That's not how our Father deals. He looks at the heart, and when a person seeks him, I don't care what kind of category they're in, what kind of trouble they're in, he will heal, and he will send his word. Nobody cries out to the Lord and doesn't get heard. Let's put it that way. So go to Nehemiah. I think I've passed it by. Yep. Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah is just a couple books after. In verse 10, this is talking about Nehemiah is standing before God's people and going through the history of Israel. And verse 10 starts and is talking about the coming out of Egypt. And he showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and on all the servants and on all the people of his land. For thou knowest that thou dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name as it is this day. God did all those judgments and everything because the people were proud. The Pharaoh was proud. Right? Go to verse 16. But they, our fathers, you know, God had done all of that to deliver them. Yet, this is what happened. But they, our fathers, dealt proudly and hard-hearted their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks in their rebellion and anointed the captains to return to the bondage, to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of a great kindness, and forsooketh them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf, and said, this is thy God, with the small g it should be, that brought thee out of Egypt and had wrought great proclamations, yea, thou in thy manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein that they should go. Even in the middle of idolatry, in the middle of really one of the biggest slaps in the face that Israel ever did to Yahweh, our Father, he was angry. Certainly the sinners and the people who didn't believe didn't go in. But you know what? He fed them every day in the wilderness. He kept the cloud there. He kept the pillar of fire there. And he let the next generation go in. Even the most hard-hearted, God doesn't forsake. He doesn't forsake. He is merciful and he's willing to pardon and forgive no matter what. He would have done it, but they didn't change. They hardened their heads, their hearts, their necks. They wouldn't budge. Go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know, that's all you got to do. That's what repentance is talking about in Scripture. Repentance is turning 180 degrees. You turn from the evil and you turn to Him. You turn to doing His Word. It's your choice. You got the power to do that. You got the power either to love or to hate. You got the power to turn 180 degrees. Your head, your heart, your behavior. And all you have to do is turn. And this is what his word declares. He will have mercy, and our God will abundantly pardon. All you have to do is ask. That's true back here. It's true in the New Testament. There's no change here. There's no change in who our Father is and the mercy that he has. I mean, it's not allowed. This is his nature. Otherwise, humanity would not be around. I'll boldly say that. If this was not his nature, I doubt very much anything would exist. Just start again. Wipe it out. Do over. That's what we did as kids, right? That's our nature. Don't go do over. Well, that's not the nature of our Father. In Psalm 130, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thy ear be attentive to the voice of my supplication, my specific request. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? If you're going to count iniquity, you know what iniquity is? When the scriptures talk about iniquity, it's talking about a lifestyle of sin. It's not a mistake. It's not an indiscretion. It's a lifestyle. Okay? You do this. This is what you do. You're a thief for a living. You're an evildoer for a living. Okay? You cheat, steal, whatever the heck it is. Whatever sin it is, you do it for a living. You're doing it all the time. If he really focused in on that, who would stand? None of us. Not a single soul. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. You know, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, isn't it? It says in Romans. It's not a weakness. It's his mercy. He's not a fool. It's his nature. You can't work him. You know what I mean by working him? You can't make a deal. For the young people in the audience here, you can't say, "Well, God, you know, if you get me out of this, I'll do this." There doesn't have to be any of that. You don't have to think that way at all. All you have to do is say, "Father, help me, forgive me," and he will show his mercy and he'll take care of you. That's what his word declares. Verse 5 says, "I wait for Yahweh. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." Everything I've just read this morning, you can hope in. I don't care what kind of situation you're in. This is he who you're dealing with. This is the Almighty. This is your Father. God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 6, "My soul waiteth for Yahweh, more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in Yahweh, for with Yahweh there is mercy, and in him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all their iniquities. What a wonderful psalm. If he counted our sins, we don't have a prayer. Not a single soul has got a prayer. All he asks is that we look towards him, that we cry out to him, that we do his word. Don't harden our hearts. Humble ourselves before him. In Luke chapter 7, I mentioned that record before, but I wanted to read this one. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus Christ is at a dinner with the Pharisees, and they have not treated him well. They have not given him hospitality. They didn't wash his feet. They didn't do that which was customary, that you would do to anyone who entered into your home. They just wanted Jesus to show up so that they could look at him and find out what he was about, probably ask him a bunch of questions. And then during that dinner, a woman came in and fell at his feet and washed her feet with her hair and anointed his feet with oil, with the tears. And then in Luke 7, I think it's in wrong verse. Lost the place. Am I in the right place? No, I'm on John 7. That's why I can't find it. My fault. Luke 7. So Jesus Christ, when he talks this, he says, you didn't take care of me and you didn't treat me well, but this woman, wherefore I say unto you, verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. There's a correlation, the Lord says. The more you're forgiven, really the more dedicated. When you turn to the Lord and you ask for repentance, the more love you show. People, there's a correlation to that. I'm not going to say that the Lord, it's not around. Okay? It's here. The people who are forgiven the most, love the most. Do you have any clue? Have you ever taken inventory like it says in Ephesians? Do you remember that you were Gentiles? All right? I had no connection to Christ, no promises, no nothing. And that he has shown you in his word that he has brought you in and given you the promises that were promised to Israel. Do you have any clue? Do you sit down sometimes and take inventory of what you deserve because of the actions in your life compared to the promises and the glory and the hope that he's given us because he's forgiven us his sins by the blood of Christ? I think it's, because the more you do take inventory and the more you realize it, the more you love him. And the more dedicated you become to him. and the more you take it for granted, there's a correlation. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 7 it says, in whom, remember Ephesians 1 is that great chapter where God is showing the victory that he had in everything that he did in Christ to you and I. He's explaining to us all that was given and all that was done through Christ Jesus. Verse 7 says, to whom we have redemption through his blood. You have been bought back. You've been redeemed by his blood. You've received the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You've received it because of his grace, his help, his divine help. He, Almighty God, our Father, sent his Son. He planned this out. He wanted this to happen. He paid the price through his Son. It cost God everything. The only man that ever didn't sin. And he asked him to sacrifice himself to save us. Again, I think that's something else to take inventory on. And he did this because of his grace. His immense grace. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We got this. Verse 13 says, verse 13 says, and whom whom hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and he has transported us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. He delivered us from darkness. He delivered us from the snatch. He snatched us from the devil. He paid justly for the sin and bought us back because we were the children of the Prince of the power of the air. We belong to him. The kingdoms of the earth and the unbelievers still belong to him. And God has paid for every single one. All they got to do is turn. And that's why the redeemed of the Lord have to say so. You have to tell people God has done for you so that they can have hope to turn to his word and to receive the abundance of grace. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Is he? He'll abundantly pardon. This was his idea. Christ has accomplished all this. If we but humble ourselves and make him Lord in our life, go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, you know, and so here it is. If we confess our sin, you go to him in prayer, Father, forgive me for doing this. All right? It says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus Christ has redeemed us. He has bought us back by his blood. All the sin from the sin of Adam all the way through has been cleansed But now as you walk and you screw up, you ask for forgiveness. And you know how ready he is to pardon? Not because sin doesn't hurt and break the relationship with him, but this is his nature. And you know, we all sin, and where the weakness is in our life, we generally do it again and again. That's why you need to keep captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's why you have to build the Word in your life. So we were taught in the Renewed Mind a couple weeks ago. You got to take the Word that's in and put it in your head and heart so that that weak area of your life is no longer weak. But being human, our weaknesses always come back and we do sin. And then we do it again. And we're sorry and we do it again. And it just shows you, not that God's a fool, it shows you how pathetic you are. And how much you need him. And how much you needed a Savior. You know, and let's close in James chapter 5. In verse 15. It says, "In the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." When you pray in faith, you know, and the church prays in faith, people are healed, and also, if they have sinned, and they're asked, we ask, you as an individual ask, you pray for others, and maybe, you know what? It says, you pray that prayer of faith. Because it does say in 14, if any are sick among you, let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. You know, point is, James is written way before the rest of the New Testament is. James is right there with the Gospels, as far as its understanding. What God made known to Paul in the church epistles, you don't need to anoint with oil. You can do it if you want, but you don't need to. But the point is, you can come directly before the Lord God Almighty and ask for your sins to be forgiven. Ask for your sicknesses to be delivered. It's good. It's okay to have somebody else pray with you. But it's got to be a prayer of faith. It's got to be something you really believe. And when you believe something, you know what? It doesn't haunt you anymore. You just go to him and accept what he has given. You know? And if you're weak, you haven't quite accepted it again, then ask again and again and again. And build the Word in your mind and realize that God means what he says and says what he means. He is a merciful God. That's what I wanted to share with you today. So,